5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Be worthy of yourself and free from the chains of your doubt, the sharp tongues of memory past that once hissed in your ears telling lies do not deserve their spite. In your locked diary of your history they stay and decay, and now in the present flowers bloom for you. You are here. Now then, witches, that was a poem by yours truly entitled Chains and Flowers. I think reflects this beautiful episode very well. I'm Swales, your friendly green witch, here being my authentic self in hope that you will enjoy and learn stuff in this podcast that is beneficial to your life as a pagan and a witch or a witch. This episode will talk about the magical numerology of 11-11 angel numbers, and then I will dive straight into what manifesting is, what I've recently found out about it. I'll have my first full-on full quote in this episode from another witch, which I include a sound bite. Woo, go me. And then there's also, I've got to say, listener discretion as I speak about personal history of a bit of depression in my past, adults not safeguarding me, and also bad things happening in America with the news. So if this triggers you, if it's too upsetting, it's not in depth or anything, it is just brief mentions, but I would not feel right if I didn't mention it. We are now on another platform. Just today we got on Amazon Music, which is fantastic. Another distributor to add to my belt. I work very hard on this podcast, trying to make it as beautiful and as authentic as I can for you. Without further ado, I should dive straight into the episode. So let's go. Well, hello, witches and beautiful souls. Can you believe we're back? We're on episode 11. How amazing is that? Last episode was just so good. Episode 10 with the lovely Beverly Thornton came in and spoke to us about picturing pagans and photographing witches, and it was an absolutely brilliant celebratory episode for our 10th episode. I'm amazed that I'm still going. I'm Swales, a friendly green witch, as you probably figured out by now, and this is episode 11, and 11 is just such a special number to me, so I thought I'd start with telling you all about that. Don't know if anybody knows about 11-11. It's quite a cosmic number with lots of different researchable angles. Some people think it's an angel number that represents a spiritual awakening in your life. Some people think it is a sign from the universe that something magnificent is about to happen and propel you on a different spiritual journey or a different awakening, like the number of the universe. It's quite a manifesting number, and it's very, you know, it's very balanced and it's very reflective. So if you look into a number 11, I mean, you could Google and there's just so much out there on 11-11. And I think when you get to know about it, that's it, then you see it everywhere. So that's what happened to me back way when, before I had children. We used to go to Las Vegas a lot, me and my husband, And there was this one time we were just laid in the hotel room, hungover as hell, because we'd been drinking and gambling all night. And they had the demand movies before it was a thing everybody had. Do you remember that time? And we found a film called I, Origins. I don't know if you've seen this. It's a 2014 American science fiction sort of romantic drama film about a scientist who studies irises. And he meets somebody in the beginning of the film. I don't want to say too much because I'll ruin it for you, but he meets this person and then the day after he sees 1111 everywhere. He follows them around and it's like spookily on adverts and on the clock. And, you know, that sets the scene rolling for the film. But I remember watching him being like, ooh, that's cool. And then I swear I just looked at the clock and it said 1111. I was just like, whoa, head blown. Bearing in mind this was before... way before I became a witch, or I mean, I've always been spiritually inclined, as you know, but way back when. And then after that, I saw 1111 all the time, and it has gone on for years and years and years, easy over a decade. And this number is the only number I see repeatedly every day. And sometimes I see 2222, which also stands out to me. And it's just, I think it's amazing. I don't see it every day, but I see it almost every day. So, I mean, if you look into the number 11, you know, like in tarot, it's justice, the justice card, which is all things will be taken into consideration. It'll be fair. You learn from your mistakes. You add things up. You weigh stuff out and pros and cons it, and things will come into balance. I think that's the overall message. Things will become right in the world if you have faith in it and if you allow it to. Which to me kind of sounds like the universe. Also, if you look at Chinese anthology, number 11 is the dog symbol, you know, in the Chinese year. And the dog, which represents Libra, which is balance in the scales, which is justice. A little saying is, I watch. I watch and observe and make a decision. So all these things to me seem to connect and convince me that it is the universe talking to me. I know it sounds a bit woo, but I just feel like every time I see 1111, it's the universe confirming they see me, they hear what I'm saying and what I'm thinking, and they feel my vibrations. I'm on the right path if I have faith. That's, I think, in a nutshell, 1111 is, that's what it's saying to me. Yeah, 1111 is the universe, and I always talk about the universe. I mean, a lot of people call the universe different things. God, for example, you know, it can be religion, it can be just fate. Some people think it's another word for fate. For me, the universe is like a delicate balance of things that are put right if you've got the right mindset and you are open to abundance and manifestation and high vibes thinking. You know, when that's a whole different ball game on its own, you know, trying to think positively. Anyway, so this leads me on to the topic I have chosen for episode 11, manifestation. It's a bit of a buzzword at the moment, isn't it, witches? Everybody's trying to manifest a new house and a new car and the dream job and money falling the lap from the sky. It's no surprise that manifestation doesn't really work like that, and it is all about a mindset. So I suppose you've all heard of the book called The Secret, which has been around quite a while now, an American cult following book. And I've read it, and I bet a lot of you have. And it's all about actions. You think it and you ask for it outright. And then I think you've to imagine it. And that in itself will draw good stuff to you, which is kind of true. I personally don't think it's as easy as that. And it's very materialized is the secrets. It really is all about living the high life and being on jets in first class and owning a house. And there's stories in it where people did a vision board of a house, and then a few years later they're in the house that was on the vision board. And it all just seems a little bit cliche and quite materialistic. I think for me the true meaning of manifestation is getting things to come to you daily. Do you know, little subtle things that bring you joy and happiness and love. And yet I think that is what I'm going to talk to you about today. So recently, I've been on all day with my kids and my family to Centre Parks. down south, which is quite a pagan holiday, which you never really make the connection, but it is, because it's all about caring for the forest and the woods, and it's animal based. There's squirrels and there's deers at your doorstep, and there's ducks tapping on your glass going like, hey up, give me some bread, and there's little bunny rabbits leaving little poos everywhere. A lot of the activities that you buy is nature-based activities, which is brilliant, and there's recycling there. I think we did Encounter with Owls, where we all, a group of us and some of the families, met a lady who had a van full of owls and hawks. Gorgeous cute little owl called, I think it was called Terry or something, Oscar. This little dwarf grey owl with big, beautiful orange eyes, really tame. And you get your glove, you know, and you can hold the owls and get them to fly to you and stuff. And my kids loved it. And we also did a really cool workshop. Me and Clementine, my youngest, did it together. And it was so simple. It would just get a load of monkey nuts and Cheerios and a bit of garden wire. Put a pine cone at the bottom and then thread the Cheerios and use a screw just to make holes in the monkey nut. And then you're just putting it on. That is it. And then just threading it up. Such a simple idea, but my kids absolutely loved it. We ended up making two. And then there was the classic fat ball, you know, putting seed in lard, wrapping it around a pine cone and dangling it from a string. And that was cool too. I mean, we put them outside and they didn't last 2 minutes. We woke up in the morning and the whole thing had just gone. All the animals had just had a feast in the night outside our windows and taken the lot. And they were upset. I said, well, the animals came along and ate them. It was just that tasty. And then they were happy then. Anyway, I digress. The reason I mentioned this holiday was I did two things. I did workshops about podcasting and getting better and how to monetize and how to get a bigger audience and tips and stuff. And the other thing is I read a book called Manifest by Roxy Nafouzi. Roxy Nafouzi. 7 Steps to Living Your Best Life. Now, this book is bright orange and really striking. And it's written in a really lovely way, giving 7 steps on how to manifest. Now, I absolutely love it because it is very different from the other one, the Secret, because it's less about owning stuff and more about attracting happiness, really, manifesting joy into your life. So, it's, you know, like the whole high vibration emotions will attract more to you than sad vibrations, fear and guilt and despair. You want to try do hope, optimism, kindness, joy, gratitude, peace, etc. The higher vibration and emotions you put out into the universe will match that vibration, send it back to you. That's my understanding. So, you know, there's the whole do the vision board, pinpoint exactly what you want to do, put a number what you'd like to earn. It's kind of basically just mind mapping your life in set times. I think 2 things stood out to me. One is my whole life, I've been quite a sad person, especially throughout my younger years, my childhood and my teenage years, because I suffered from depression pretty much all the time, if I'm honest. And I had loads of counselling through different charities and doctors trying to fix myself. And I'd have times when I were there, I felt fixed, but then there were always a little part of me that doubted that I were there and I were fixed. And that was enough to keep that low vibration in the background. And so negative things still happen, but they weren't massive like they had been when I was young. But it's hard to get your brain to believe positive things when you feel that sad. You know, it's a lot of work and you'll need help from various places, which I can't give because I'm not medically trained. But in my mind, it's like, I've got this bizarre Monty Python brain type job, you know, like Monty Python shorts. I see there's a brain sat at a desk and I come along to this brain and I give the brain some paper and it's got like loads of happy words written on it. And the brain kind of goes like, what's this? And I say, well, you got to read them. Keep reading them and then you got to believe them. And the brain's going, yeah, but it's not true, is it? It's not true. And I'm sort of saying to the brain, well, you need to read them. If you keep reading them and keep reading them, then eventually it'll happen and you will start feeling a bit more positive. A bit weird. And that is, I think that's what it is. It's almost like tricking your brain into positive thinking. no easy task, but at the moment, one of the things I got from this fantastic manifestation book is listing 15 things around you that you're grateful for. So you're like, five things inside you, five things in your life, maybe five things you can do or achieve. I read that if you struggle to come up with these, then you can do them globally and they can be really huge, you know, like worldly. So, you know, when you're feeling pissed off and when you're sad, you can think, well, I'm grateful that there's sun shining on me, and I'm grateful that the sky is looking blue and clear. I'm grateful I can hear the birds tweet. I'm grateful there's this tree on my street that blossoms every spring. I'm grateful that my neighbour has a cat that comes to say hello to me when I'm out. You know, it could be anything as massive as that, because it's tricking your brain into sending out a good vibe. And me and my eldest are starting to do this, because she is very much a pessimist. She's always like, my life is so terrible. I've had the worst day ever. I just did it all wrong, and I'm silly, and I'm not a nice person, and I hate this day. And, you know, and it's just like, wow, okay, let's try and be grateful for five things. And when, even when she's cross, I say it, and then I just start doing it in front of her, like, oh, I'm really grateful that you trust me enough to show me your true emotions, and I'm really grateful that you have a bedroom full of toys that you really love. And then she'll naturally start going, oh yeah, I'm grateful that I can be cross right now. And I'm like, okay, I'm grateful that you speak English so we can communicate. You know, it could be absolutely anything. And it has made a tiny little difference. And also, we had evidence of this. So we started doing it at the beginning of the holiday when I read this book, which I fired through in like 4 days or something. And we started doing it while we were there, because it was easy to do because we were in the forest surrounded by animals and amazing things to do and play on and eat. And there was a day when we wanted to do a game, but we hadn't booked anything. And so I went to the desk, wherever it is, and said, oh, we'd like to book table tennis. And the lady said, oh, you've just missed the start time for that. It started 10 minutes ago. And Florence went, oh. And then she went, but however, you could just take a ball and the bats and you can play for 20 minutes for nothing and just come back at 5:30 when the session's finished. And Florence were like, yay! So as we were walking to the table tennis, I said to her, you see, isn't that weird? Because we've been good vibing all week, we've managed to score free table tennis for 20 minutes. I mean, how amazing is that? And she was like, oh yeah, oh wow, it really does work. And I was like, it absolutely does work. And there is the proof, girl, just there, just for you. Another thing as well that I personally have a problem with that I read in this amazing book is when you get envy. So you've got to try and turn your envy into inspiration. Again, throughout my life, I've been quite an envious person. I've always doom scrolling. Oh gosh, if there's anything like a cock block of manifesting, it is doom scrolling. It is the worst for manifesting. Just don't do it. It really lowers the vibes, I tell you. Yeah, so when you're looking at perfect life that's portrayed on the internet, for example, Instagram, and then you get the all green-eyed monster, that is lowering the vibe because it's a negative emotion, right? So Roxy's asking you to re-picture it as inspiration. So you're going to try and unpack it. And it is so hard, I tell you, even today is so hard. And I'm so aware that I do this. So you'd say like, why am I feeling so envious of this person? Look at her perfect life. It's so unfair. I wish I could have that. Grab hold of that. Wouldn't it be cool if I could have that? How amazing that they've got to where they've got to through their hard work, and that there's people for them. These people that are for them are not going to be the same people for me, because there's billions of people in the world. There is plenty of customers and clients to go around. Don't be envious of somebody's success. We have to send out love and respect and inspiration to the person who is making us envious. It does take a lot of practice. I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do by any stretch of the imagination. Just catch yourself and rethink it and try and repicture it. And that's a challenge I'm going to set you. And the other thing is, I think this is probably the most important one, is when you're trying to manifest and you're trying to attract love to yourself and good things in general. You've got to start at home inside. So the way you speak to yourself and the way you snip at yourself and self-criticize, all that again is a block to manifesting stuff. And I know it's so easy, especially for women, to do it in today's world with all the unfair capitalist bollocks we've got to deal with. The magic is talking to yourself with love. It is a bit cheesy. In the morning, you're looking at yourself and going, oh, I love you. List five things I like about my face. I mean, if you can do it, then please do it. I do struggle with that, but I catch myself saying in my head, like, oh, you silly twat, what are you doing? I catch myself going like, no, do not give yourself such a hard time about this, because it can happen to anybody, and you're doing your best and you're only human and you're going to better yourself. You need to let it go. Don't dwell. That's another thing I do, is I dwell on the past that you cannot change. The past is gone. Can no longer define us. We've learned some mistakes. Sometimes we haven't, and that's okay. Be nice to yourself, witches, be nice. The magic is in being nice. Even in the Wiccan law, one of the laws is do harm to none. And that includes yourself. Speak to yourself with love, respect and kindness. I think these three things, when I read the book, stood out to me so much. And I've kind of been acting on them without realising, trying to be kinder to myself. And my mental health is loads better. And the reason for that is because witchcraft, which makes me really happy, asks me to speak kindly to myself. I know you've got kids as well. You don't want to speak unkindly to yourself in front of your children, because they learn it, because it's like modelling behaviour, isn't it? They will mirror you. My word, my kids absolutely mirror me on everything, you know, from the stuff they watch, the stuff they say, the way they play on the games and watch the screens, what they eat. There's so much there that is mirrored from me, model behaviour. So I never comment about my body around them, and I've generally just tried to stop beating myself up about my body in general, and that's also a challenge and a half. And go in front of them and be like, oh, I'm quite proud of myself for that. How cool is that? Look what I've achieved. And they go, wow, mummy, that is so cool. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Enjoy it, it's good. You know, like people say, everything that happens to you in your life is because of you, because you attracted it, because you thought it. I think that's really problematic. I mean, for one, we cannot control other people. No matter how positive we are inside and out, we are not responsible for other people's actions. We cannot control other people's will. So I think thinking you attract absolutely everything, good and bad, to yourself is really not a nice thought and quite toxic. But Susan Gregg, a Toltec master shamanic healer and life coach in Hawaii, and a recently, well, probably last year, did one of her talks on Zoom through the Cult Mother, which is another amazing business I'll have to talk about in the future. But she was very inspiring, and she was saying, to have a good life, you need to send love out to everyone all the time, which sounds so huge. Even people who are right assholes to you. And then when that happens, you'll manifest it back to you. So when somebody's driving like a maniac, send them love. Sad that you're driving so irresponsibly, but I send you love and healing and stuff, which is so hard if you suffer from road rage like I do. Try not to flip people off behind the mirror. But it's just really hard. I think we're so quick to fire out negativity if somebody's crossed our path, and we never realise why or question why they've crossed his path, you know, like why they've upset us. They didn't even realise. According to Susan, we should forgive them and send love out to them. It becomes problematic as well when, you know, like in America, when people are doing gun stuff in America. Sorry about this, trigger warning, guns in America, but it's a bit late for that. But can you really send love to a person who has gone into a school and shot a load of people? No, you cannot. But she was saying, well, you should, because the reason they've done it is because they didn't feel love in their life, and that is why we need to do it to stop this happening. I was a bit like, me, I don't know, the jury's still out in the twin. You know, a lot of bad stuff happened to me from a safeguarding issue when I was a kid. When I was little, adults took advantage of me in the most grotesque way, and it took me a lot of love and self-help and counselling and hypnotherapy and all sorts to get over it. And I was a bit like, so, like, are you saying I manifested that? She was like, yeah. I was like, nah, I'm out. I'm not on board. I cannot be held accountable for other people's
shit that they dish out is just over the top for me. That to me is like a really extreme, extreme thought process on manifesting. But yeah, look her up. She's on Instagram. She's on Twitter. She's got a really cool life experience talk about how she got into it. Oh, it's been quite tragic. A lot of tragic things happened to her. She lives in Hawaii now and she's done all that. She's very inspiring, but yeah, keep that in mind. The official Madam Adam got it correct for me when I was researching the whole manifestation. So Madam Adam, the official Madam Adam is his Instagram. It gets cloned loads, as a lot of us do at the moment on Instagram. It is a right pain in the ass, but he does quick fire tarot readings on Instagram as well as other little talks and stuff. He's really cool to watch. I really like him a lot. His fashion sense is phenomenal, and he always has these amazing nails that are just gorgeous. I'm gonna try and play you a clip in the mic. I'm gonna see if it works. Here we go.
Heard that a lot of spiritual practice has become super fucking meta and like over glamorized on social media and honestly made really, really over complicated. One of those things is manifestation. Everyone and their mother is like, oh, I'm manifesting it, while they grab a rose quartz and make a wish. And that's just not how that works. Yes, a lot of manifestation is mindset. A lot of it is belief system and mantras. And I believe I deserve that. Yeah, a lot of it is that. But to be frank, manifestation by definition is demonstration. To manifest means to demonstrate. Think about how a ghost might manifest in front of you. It would demonstrate itself. It would make itself known to you. And that's why when people tell me that they want to manifest money, I say that they're really manifesting work, because how would you demonstrate money into your life? You'd work for it. You'd pick up a shift. You would grind. You would sell some stuff. You would do things. You would work toward that money. That's how you demonstrate it. That's how you manifest. Manifestation is demonstration. I want to manifest a love in my life or someone to love me. Then to demonstrate that, you would have to show that you're a willing participant of love, that you love yourself enough to carry yourself in a way that would be attractive to other people. I want to manifest a job. Then you would demonstrate that by applying, putting yourself out there, carrying yourself confidently, getting a haircut, etc., behaving in a way that you can show that you deserve and want that thing. That's manifestation.
Manifestation is demonstration. God, I absolutely love that. It is so true. It is just what I've been reading about demonstrating the positive vibes in different ways, demonstrating the positive vibrations to yourself in different ways to feel what it feels like and attract more of that into your life. So it's not just about getting the car, it's about what it feels like to drive that car that you so desperately want, rather than focusing on the material, which is a lot what people just assume manifesting is about. It's about the feelings we get from the stuff. So if we didn't have the stuff, we need to work on the feelings and the stuff will naturally follow. I love it. I absolutely love it. He's a really cool speaker on the older Tinterweb. One more point I wanted to say. I learned this recently about manifesting. So I've been feeling a bit skint, if I'm honest, recently. As we all are, because of the whole everything costs a fortune. And I decided to do some serious manifestation on trying to get myself a windfall. I was like, I'm going to do it. And so I worked quite hard at the end of last year, trying to demonstrate, probably not very well, this windfall. Now the universe, when it gets this information, it will do it for you if you feel so strongly about it, but it'll do it for you in the easiest possible route, and that's where the danger lies. You start to say if you're wishing for a certain amount, like 15 grand, for example, the universe will get that to you in any way it can, as easiest as it can. It'll take the easiest route. So somebody might die and you'll get it in the will, or something terrible might happen to you and you'll get a payout, touch wood. They're quite worst case scenarios, but it happens, you know what I mean? Anyway, so I was manifesting this money for my family. And earlier this year, my husband got told he was going to be made redundant in June and he'd get a big payout. Well, it wasn't that big. It was just maybe just over a year, but then you'd have to pay tax. It wasn't really that big. And it was the worst news. He's had this job a long time. He likes his job. He doesn't like change. He's complete opposite to me. And when he told me, I was like, holy hell, I actually do feel responsible. I asked for some money, tried to manifest it, and I honestly believe this is how the universe has responded. And I tell you what, listeners, I absolutely shit my pants. I shit them. I was so upset about it. And he was, you know, obviously a bit pissed off, but he's not at all witchy or he's very scientific, very straightly. So I don't know if he really believed in all that. I mean, I absolutely did. And I absolutely felt responsible. So I got my ass into gear. I did loads of magic. I did loads of offerings, manifesting a job for him as quick as possible, with apologies to the universe, like, I'm really sorry, I didn't think that through. And the year progressed, we were all stressing out, and we didn't really tell anybody because my husband was quite upset and embarrassed a little bit about it, which is terrible because it's nothing to do with him, it's the company, isn't it? And then it comes to the last week in June, and I'm like, we're absolutely in trouble, I don't know what we're going to do. And then loads of things happened, like one of his bosses left unexpectedly, somebody new came in as his boss, there was a shift around in the office, and then people started fighting for his job, and he got to keep the job. And it was like 4 days until he was going to get signed off, and we just couldn't believe how what an absolute mess it was, but we were so thankful that he got to keep his job. I mean, we were all a bit annoyed about the whole fiasco, but I honestly do believe that is a tale of trouble from Swales. Be careful what you wish for. It's that old cliche, but it is absolutely so true. And it's a proper word of caution for you there. It did absolutely rock our world. It was just like the power of manifesting. Be careful out there, witches. It is a jungle. So I've rabbited on my own, you may have noticed, for 35 minutes. It's not so bad. It leads nicely on to the next segment. There's been a lot of change and movement behind the scenes in Bellwitch HQ. As you know, Jodie, a fantastic witch, she's so, so busy at the moment. She is doing amazing things, from running whole markets single-handedly to doing pendulum workshops and baby tarot card classes and all the other tarot class stuff. And then she's doing this tarot social, and then she's trying to go to festivals. And I honestly do not know how she does it. And so she is asked to step down from creating the podcast. And I think it's a good time because we've made it to episode 10. Which is pretty cool. And then my confidence has slowly grown, because in the beginning I was like, I can't do it on my own. I'm so scared I'll be boring. I mean, maybe I am boring, maybe you're not here. And in that case, I'm sorry, but if you're still here, thank you for being here. And so the Bellwitch podcast is still going to be around. I do have plans. It's going to alter slightly. So my thinking is, because the two episodes we have done with somebody, a guest speaker coming in, have been the most successful, I believe it has had the most views, well, not views, but it has had the most downloads, especially the last one got downloads quite quickly in a short space of time. And the Earth one has got the most views on YouTube. Sidebar, yes, we are on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, the Bellwitch podcast is on there, but it's not a video, it's just like a screenshot with a sound bar that moves up and down, and then you listen to this podcast right that I'm making right now. It's the same podcast, it is just a different distributor. Close sidebar. I mean, I do all the editing, I do all the thinking it up, I do all the artwork and typing stuff up, and I do a lot of training on how to be better at podcasting for you guys. And so my thinking is, it could become like a moot. Those of you who don't know what a moot is, it's kind of like a social gathering that happens once a month, where somebody will come in to a group of witches, kind of like a lecture but more fun, and speak about something to do with witchcraft, Wicca, paganism. It could be anything. And it's such a cool, you learn lots. If you're interested in the craft, the way of living a pagan life and all that jazz, it would be so awesome. So my idea is, it's going to become a podcast moot with a different person in every month. And then maybe, you know, it's every 2 weeks. So 1 week, the first week I'd be talking on my own like this. And then the second week would be a guest speaker coming in to do the moot and kind of go co-host with me, like guest co-host. And I think it'd be awesome. I think I hope it'd be the correct thing to do. Of course, it'll always have a family angle because I'm a mum and my kids are important to me and I want them to be witchy. I actively encourage them to be witchy. And so it'll always have that angle, but it probably won't be as focused as it has been with Jodie. Just in order to keep going, because I don't want a pod fade. And I'm having such a nice time here talking to you. And I hope you like it too. When I were manifesting this, I was thinking, well, I'll do my think swim. Don't even remember. I tend to manifest up ideas, think ideas up to manifest rather. Either when I'm about to go to sleep, in which case that gives me insomnia, or when I'm swimming. So I remember swimming around Christmas time, just talking to myself, being like, I'd love to do a podcast. How about if I made a podcast and it'd be like, if I were to read a magazine, perfect for me and my witchy life, what would be in this magazine? You know, so there'd be spells and chats about trying to be a witch around children and meeting people and learning new stuff, and maybe, I don't know, joke corner or a competition, or kind of like Full House but for witches. I mean, how amazing does that sound? Why does that not exist? What the heck? And then that was it. Then when the thought entered my head, it was like, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. I can't not do it. And I pretty much badgered Jodie throughout the new year and up till February. And then I made the teaser back in February, which sounds absolutely horrendous now, now I've progressed. And then we came up with, yes, we should speak about parenting. But my worry is it might single people out who are really not interested in kids, but are really witchy. And I want to appeal to them too. So hopefully this is the way forward. Do let me know what you think, if you're into this idea. Now I'm going to do it alone. You know, it'd be nice to have a community to speak to and bounce ideas off. And I've considered making a Bell Witch group on Facebook where we can talk to each other about ideas and stuff you want me to talk about and who we could invite onto the show, because I'm going to need to find more people then I know to come and speak to me. And I really like the idea of just having a community of Bell Witches that do the whole podcast together. Ideas, it'd be amazing. Oh my God, I get so excited about it. Yay! What else? What else? Other news. Okay, so in my other news, drum roll please. I have secured a spot writing for the Pagans of the North online magazine. Yay! A little corner, a little kind of like, oh, I don't know what you call it, you know, where you write for a paper, a column, like a little column. And that's going to start in September when the madness of the 6 week ends and I can get my house and my life back together, because at the moment it's a right mess. And I will be writing it from the perspective of a witch parent. So that's exciting, isn't it? Oh my gosh, amazing. Right, well, that was a bit of a... That was a brand new exclusive. So if you've hung around this long, that's what you got. Well done for hanging around. Thank you so much for sticking with me throughout this. I have learned an absolute ton in 6-7 months. I learn all the time and I love doing it for you. Call to action. Please, can you rate us and subscribe to us? That is all I need. Hit the stars, Apple Podcasts, and subscribe to us, and that makes the podcast go. To get these super fans that I've read, apparently you need 1,000 super fans to have made it in a podcast. So that is my new goal now, as well as getting reviews. 50 by the end of the year would be spiffing. Yes, so have a magical week or two until the next time I see you. And keep it real, witches. All my swales, love. Bye.